Welcome to the 51% Podcast. Hello, I'm Rachel New, a writer, broadcaster, and most importantly, woman. I worked with Improving Me, that's the Women's Health and Maternity Programme for NHS Cheshire and Merseyside, to develop the 51%, a series of writing workshops that are both therapeutic and joyful. Run over 6 weekly sessions in a safe and supportive space, a group of women come together and use poetry, prose and free writing to explore their thoughts and feelings around all stages of their reproductive life, from menstruation to menopause and all the stops along the way. In this short podcast series, I'll be chatting to some of the women who took part and hearing a selection of the beautiful work they produced. In this episode, I'm talking to Maria, a sound therapist who was feeling a little bit lost. We discuss starting her period at just 10 years old, abusive relationships, and having a termination. But as you'll hear, Maria is now in a place of great joy and self-discovery. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What first inspired you to come along to the workshops and take part?
There was a friend who told me about it. I was wanting to get back into writing as well because I hadn't done any for a while. And when I saw the subject, what it was about, it really, you know, interested me.
And where would you sort of say you were at in your life at the time when we started those workshops? What was going on for you?
I was very lost. I'd stopped work. I was in the middle of menopause and I just felt like I didn't know where I was going, you know, like I'd lost direction.
And how did that change, if it did change, during the course of the workshops and since?
It did change. I, you know, started writing again and realised I hadn't lost that. It's always been with me, reconnecting with other women as well. It was really important for me. And then I went on to do a retreat on writing my memoirs. That felt like a turning point as well. And yeah, just, you know, reading my work with you all, and that day we all went on the stage, and that, you know, that was amazing. Like, I was really nervous before, but once I was up there, I felt like, yeah, this is me.
Yeah, so a culmination of the writing workshops, that we had an event at the Central Library in Liverpool, yeah. And some of you got up and read your work. And I'm really glad that was amazing, because I know it is nerve-wracking. And when you say to people in advance, don't worry, it'll be fine, you'll really enjoy it, no one believes you. But you did enjoy it, which is good.
Yeah, it is.
And your work is really powerful, and we'll hear some of your work shortly. I mean, it's very honest, I think, is the best way of describing it. Incredibly honest work. So we started in the workshops talking about our experiences of starting periods, and I think that often takes women back to a very, I suppose, changing time in their lives. Obviously, mm-hmm. They were children, and this big momentous thing happens, and how people respond to it, how the adults in your life respond to that. And I think that was quite a difficult time for you, wasn't it, starting your periods? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was a very difficult time because I was really young. I was only 10. I was the first in my class.
And what was happening at home? How was it received?
I don't think it was received badly, but I don't remember there being that much support, really. I think school was mainly the traumatic part, though. I'd been drawing, like trying to draw my experience to make sense of it. And a teacher got really upset and threw me out the class and told me I was dirty or something. And another time they were searching our bags, and they pulled out a towel, and it was a big Dr. White one my mum had given me. And it was just so embarrassing. And then, like, I got bullied because of it. So, yeah, it wasn't a very nice time.
It's our first real taste, I think, of kind of womanly shame, which is something that we carry around a lot with us. And I know it's something you explored a lot in your work. What other things were going on in your life around that time?
Well, there was a lot going on at home with my mum and dad, you know, domestic violence. And then my dad had a brain hemorrhage when I was 10 as well, so the same year, and went into institutions after that. And then there was my mum, like, the anger was taken out on me, so, yeah, it was a really, really bad time.
And I think you made some kind of connection somewhere between you starting to bleed and your dad having a brain hemorrhage and somehow took on some kind of blame for that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure if I took on blame, but yeah, it does definitely felt there was a connection, and don't know how to describe it really.
Well, on the subjects of shame and blame, you wrote an amazing piece, which I think kind of bore fruit out of a lot of our discussions in the group. Could you read that for us?
Yeah. Okay, shame and blame. Shame and blame had circled my experience of being a woman. What if I'd had a loving partner, loving parents, a better life? You'd have lived, been welcome, wanted, loved, birthed. But shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. I was 21, projected upon by her experiences, shamed by my mother, unmarried mother. Repeated cycles, no, bastard, bastard, bastard. Shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. Fathers, demons, and abandonment. Termination frowned upon in the eyes of the church. Sin, sin, sin. Shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. He was my saviour from hell at home. Kicked out 3 months pregnant and homeless, living in a hostel with drug addicts and psychos. He seemed like the only one who cared. I clung on. Shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. I carried her. Without real motherly guidance, despite being unable to take care of myself, I bathed her with love, but shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. By the time she was three, the relationship was so toxic, spiritually broken and unhappy, trapped and pregnant again. Shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. Memories of severe postnatal depression, left with a baby screaming. My milk dried up because I was on a diet after he called me fat. Kicked in the stomach 4 days after giving birth. I bled all my ancestors' death. Shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman. I felt he was a boy, my son. I couldn't keep him. Every day the guilt ate me up. Selfish murderer, no good. Now I ask his forgiveness and love, even if I don't deserve it. Shame and blame circled my experience of being a woman.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you so much for that. As I said, you write incredibly honestly, and that is a poem that feels like it's a very big letting out of a lot of things you'd held on to. How did it feel to write that?
Yeah, I felt really, like you said, letting go of a lot, taking back my power.
And I think you are at a time in your life now. You said when you started the workshops, you were feeling lost, but I think you probably all at around the same time in quite a concentrated place. You have been taking back your power. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about the other things you've been doing, I suppose, in the name of womanhood?
When I went into menopause, I felt like I'd lost my sexuality and, like I just felt numb and oh, this is it, it's over for me. And then there's a lady I know from like Facebook and that and other circles. She does these sexually empowering workshops. I've been to one before, but this was online one on Zoom, and it was about the jade egg, which if people don't know, it's used for helping you get your sexuality back, and it's also used for pelvic floor and even for trauma and things which I didn't know. So I join that anyway, and every week we kind of, explore our bodies, touch and things like that, and yeah, it helped me start to feel again. And at first, I was scared to use the egg, but a week after week, I got more confident and was able to use it. And yeah, truly changed things for me.
That's amazing to hear. That's so fantastic
Yeah.
to hear. And how else has being in the writing workshops changed for you, do you think?
Obviously, the writing again, because I kind of let that go. And really connecting with the other women was important for me, you know, the way we all supported each other and, you know, made some good friendships there. I think in the past it's been hard because of bullying at school, and that was hard to, you know, talk about these kinds of things with women or even trust women.
That's an interesting point. So you are postmenopausal now, so you're of a certain age, and you've felt through your life that you've struggled to trust women.
Yeah, definitely.
You felt very trusting in the group. So did you feel that start to change, and why do you think that was?
I felt safe. You know, you provided a very safe space as well. I felt comfortable to share my experiences and just open my heart a bit more, you know, not be as cautious and closed, I suppose.
You know, I think you really helped the other women as well. I think with your honesty and your openness, I think you kind of paved the way, I think, for other women to be honest and be open and to share. And definitely, I think your work sparked some discussions that I think some women really needed to have and help them write things that they were nervous to write about or talk about. So I thank you very much for your honesty. And while we're on the subject of your honesty, which I feel is Maria's motif from these workshops, can we hear another piece of your work? The piece I'd like you to read is the piece that I think is very personal that you were nervous to read on stage in Liverpool, but you did. And it was incredibly well received in an audience not entirely of women, but of a lot of women. I think you lit a fire under some women with what might be possible for them, you know. So could you share that piece with us?
Yeah. So it's called Reconnecting with My Womb. Reconnecting with you after 8 months of no blood. I hear you were feeling old, tired, dried up. My once vibrant sexuality was numb. Nothing could revive it, not even a handsome younger man. Echoes of the shame I'd experienced as a younger woman circled back. My womb spoke back. Led me to a sexually empowering teacher, then demanded I take back my power. Over the weeks, I was taught it's safe to be sexy, to be vulnerable, to explore my body in a circle of women, as we date ourselves, explore our senses, stroke our breasts, savor taste, return to my wet juiciness. Love my pussy, cry, kick, scream if I want to. I heard your no, stop. Remembering all the times I ignored it, allowing others to enter my sacred portal. Sometimes manipulated, convinced, or forced. Groomed the first time, abused the last. It ends now. I was patient with you. Each week you opened a little more, like a flower to the sun. You thanked me for listening, for my relationship with the jade egg. A deeper relationship was born with myself. Now, my womb tells me she feels alive. She's full of light. Her creativity has returned. She's on fire. There is no need to rush. Just savor her. As she returns, so do I. I put my unborn baby in my heart. I forgave myself. I chased those old lovers out. I embrace myself. And with it, a new, softer, healed, but powerful as fuck version of me is birthed, who once again is excited about life and sex.
Wow. I love that. I've heard it a few times now, and it does not diminish in its pleasure. And I really like the idea. I mean, I like the journey of that piece because, we sort of feel you unfurling during it. But also, I really like that, you use that experience of reconnecting with your womb and your sexuality and your womanhood to put to rest your guilt and your shame about abortion. And you also lay to rest those thoughts of being abused. And those are very difficult things to let go of. And not a lot of people don't manage to do that ever. And the fact that you used these experiences of the writing workshops and your, these sexuality workshops to really heal yourself is incredibly powerful. And I think it's powerful for other women and other people to hear that it is possible, that it is within you. I want to talk a little bit about the writing tools and processes that we use during the workshop. How did you find those to help sort of kickstart your writing again?
Yeah, I found them really, really useful. I think I needed those prompts.
Obviously, one of the tools we use is using
Oh,
repetition, and your poem Shame and Blame is
yeah.
a great example of that.
Yeah.
And what about some of the subject matters we touched on? Because obviously we sort of start at the beginning with your periods and we kind of go through to menopause. And what aspects of that chimed with you?
Yeah, I think starting with the periods was really helpful for me. Helped me, go from a teenager and then to now, because I think a lot of that comes up in the menopause anyway, Yeah, it was really helpful and to be able to write about it because I don't think I've ever explored it before.
That's an interesting point as well, actually, because when you go through menopause, even if you're really happy to say goodbye to your periods, even if you've had children and you're happy that your womb has done its job, there's a strange sort of finality, and it is a closing of the circle. And it does somehow, certainly for me, it did take me back to that place where it was all starting. And I suppose sort of rolling in with what you said about reconnecting with yourself and self-love. It almost gives you the opportunity to go back and speak. I mean, I was 12 when I started, to kind of connect with that 12-year-old you and be kind to them about that experience.
Yeah, I kind of mourned my loss of my blood. I don't think I appreciated it, how powerful it is. And, there's a lot of people now who use it and, in very healing ways, don't they? And I didn't really get to do that as much as I'd like to have.
Well, I think for most of us during our periods, we're just getting by month to month, aren't we?
Yeah.
But some women's experiences are so horrendous with their periods, some women's less so, but you're still just walking that tightrope of remembering to have the right products in your bag, remembering not to wear white, looking at the calendar when you're going to be on holiday, and all of those things.
Yeah,
It's just,
don't miss
yeah,
that.
exactly. Yeah. So, but I think there is a mourning as well, and then you come out the other side and go, actually, yeah, this is very liberating.
Yeah.
What next for Maria? What's now you're powerful and emboldened, and you're at peak you. What's going to happen next in your life?
So I think I talked about it in the group that I wanted to run my own retreats in Egypt. So I'm in the process of putting that together, and I've just come back from Morocco traveling. I fell in love as well while I was there.
Oh,
And I'm going
wonderful.
to be working with someone doing retreats in the Sahara Desert. So I'm really
Amazing.
nervous about it all. It's a big step for me, but it's definitely calling me.
What kind of things will happen on the retreats, do you think?
I do sound therapy, but I stopped doing it last year, really early last year. So I'd like to offer that if I can get all the stuff over and meditation, things like that. I might even do some writing as well.
Well, you've got the tools now. Feel free to use them. Oh, well, it's really lovely catching up with you, Maria, and I'm really glad that the workshops were so useful and powerful for you, and that you feel like you found yourself again and produced some absolutely beautiful work. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks to Improving Me for making the 51% writing workshops possible, and to Liverpool Central Library for giving us space to work. And of course, thank you for listening.